You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. CITR 101.9 FM, located on unceded Coast Salish ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Listen to the Ninth Wave, episode 18. Welcome.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues?
Are you down with decolonization?
Do you have something to say?
Or have a topic to share?
We have just the thing.
Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective.
We're a team of Indigenous and non-Indigenous people.
I'm Niska from my mother.
From the Tahltan Territory.
I'm a settler from Washington State.
I'm from the Qualicum and Musqueam First Nations.
I am Quechua Indigenous from Saraguro, Ecuador.
We broadcast from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land
of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Whatever you want to talk about, we're into it.
Everyone is welcome, no experience necessary. Unceded Airwaves airs Mondays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. on CITR 101.9 FM.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Unceded Airwaves.
We want to hear your story.
All right. Hi. This is CITR Radio 101.9 FM broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam Territory in Vancouver. My name is Killian, and this is our show, Word on the Street. Let's start off with a couple of intros. It's been a while since I've been here. I think it's been a while since a lot of other people have been here. How you guys doing? How's your week been so far?
Been pretty good. Wait, can you hear me? Yeah, there we go. It's been pretty good. Not a lot. Not a lot happening. Finals are starting to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a pretty good week.
Yeah? Give us a quick, what are you guys' names?
I'm Brenna.
I'm Ava.
All right, nice.
I'm Zubin.
I'm Camille. I'm from Gentle Mind.
Nice.
I'm Isia, and my week has been fine.
Mm-hmm. And if you notice, Camille has never been here before because she is a special guest for our show today. Camille, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Camille Brown. I am a student at UBC studying creative writing, and I formed a band with other UBC students last year. And we've been playing gigs, and things are going well, yeah.
Nice. And you were recently in Best in Vancouver. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a competition, like, citywide, held by Live Acts Vancouver, and it's at the Railway Station, a club, I mean, which is a really cool venue. And, yeah, it was a really fun experience. We got the results today, and we're not making it to finals, but I'm really stoked to go listen to the finalists in January.
That's awesome. No, yeah. That sounds like a ton of fun. How many bands were there?
28.
Wow.
Yeah, and four finalists.
Wow. Yeah, you liked it though? Good experience?
Oh yeah, it was loads of fun. We got a bunch of good feedback, and yeah, I'm happy we did it.
Oh, that's great. Would you recommend it to any other bands looking to get a name?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely like a good way to get feedback from professionals, people who've been in the industry for a long time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. You want to tell us a little bit about your band and like why you guys formed, what
Absolutely.
Kind of music you're making?
Yeah, so we met through a Blank Vinyl Project, a music club at UBC. Through their like Build-A-Band program, which I'm in charge of this year. And it was really like this magical moment where we just realized that we were meant to be in a band together. We signed up as 8 people, and then slowly but surely people started, you know, not coming to practice, and then we ended up being 4, and the 4 of us just kicked it off. Like it was great. It kind of happened like super organically, and it's one of those moments where you're like, oh, like the universe wanted this to happen, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, no, that sounds like a good experience. Anybody else here got any questions for Cammie? Seems like a lot of fun. Yeah. All right, we'll jump into the next part then. Cool. We want to intro a band called Young Blood, who we've recently had on the show here at CATR. They're a self-described dream pop band from right here in Vancouver. I listened to their debut EP, and I think they have a really cool sound. The only way I can describe it is the bio off their Facebook feed, which is where they describe themselves as what the 60s thought the future would sound like, and that sounds awesome to me. Here's a song called Alone With You off their debut EP, Feel All Right.
Betray it. You sunk your teeth for the last time.
That was Young Blood and their song Alone With You off their debut EP, Feel Alright. They're not playing anywhere in Canada soon because they're in India right now, but if you like that, keep an ear out for when you can see them in Vancouver. Now I want to talk a little bit more, Cammie, about Blank Vinyl Project, just because that seems really cool to me. Can you give us a rundown on what that is?
Yeah, so we're a music club on campus. We're focused on live music events mainly, so we'll organize new events. Every year we run Goose Hunt at the end of the year, and that's always like the maddest party. Lots of fun, cool decorations, usually a really cool theme. And we also have the infrastructure to record people, also photographers, for like band photo shoots and stuff like that. So yeah, and we have a jam space located in the Nest that you can use for free when you have a $10 membership. So that's like the main, I guess, highlight of the club is for musicians. It's a really great way to have a space to practice.
That's awesome. So is it just UBC students or can anybody join?
It's just UBC students, yeah. It's just a UBC club,
cool.
Yeah.
So if you're in UBC and you wanted to get involved, that seems like a cool way to do it.
Yeah, and even if you're not a musician and you just like going to concerts and like being around people who like the same music as you, it's a good way to meet friends. I know that that's where I met all my friends and they're like my family now, so yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, cool. Anybody else got Blank Vinyl Project questions? No? So how long have you been involved in it again?
For like a year now, yeah.
Cool. And so have you guys got like a big exec council or anything? What kind of roles are there for students wanting to get involved?
Well, there are different teams in Blank Vinyl Project. So like sound team, where everyone like takes part in our music events where they have to take care of sound. And then we have media team, marketing team that takes care of like social media and stuff like that. I'm in charge of Build-A-Band, which is the program that my band went through. So basically just mixers and mingles and stuff like that to meet other musicians. So yeah, there's really like a lot of stuff that you can get involved with, even like photography and stuff like that, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I see. Do you have a question?
Yeah, just in terms of Build-A-Band, like, what's like the experience of being able to join or show up at one of the mixers?
You don't need that much experience. We have members that rank from like beginners to like people who've been playing since they know how to, you know, walk. So like, I think that it's pretty open to all skill levels, and it's also like one of the things that you can talk about with the people there. Like if you're looking for people that are as well like beginners, well then that's something that you can definitely do.
Alright, cool. Next thing I want to jump into is Isiah's got a couple other events she wants to talk about that are coming up in this next week and beyond.
Yep. So tonight we have Shindig again, and that will include King Buzzard, Mushy Face, which is a great name, and These Guys, which is not really grammatically correct, but I guess I support it. And also Angus and Julia Stone are playing at the Vogue Theater tonight. You'll hear a song by them later. They're like an indie duo kind of thing. They're Australian and they're siblings, so that's super interesting. Tomorrow we have Storytelling with Drag Queens for Adults at the Café du Soleil, which is pretty self-explanatory to what that event is. And on Thursday we have Archiving Activism, which is like a panel, which is occurring at the MOV. And then on December 9th, there's an event called Rapid Fire 2, which is happening at 333, and it's like the event's called Pursuit of Happiness, and it includes like performances by Tyler Skye, Francis Arevalo, and Lions We Are. And also on December 13th, there's an info night about a BCIT, like a music program, and it's at 6 to 7 p.m. at the Boardside, which is in Gastown.
Awesome. So, yeah. Any of those events you would super recommend? Any big standouts to you? Anything you're excited for?
Angus and Julia Stone seems pretty interesting, and this drag queen thing, I'm intrigued by the name. So that.
All right.
All right, so we're going to jump to a quick music feature, quick album feature. I actually just discovered these guys today while I was like coming up in my Bandcamp feed while I was studying. They are called Watts, and it is a collective out of Ottawa with four guys out of Ottawa. They actually just released a new album on November 8th. It is called 3, not the letter 3, but 3 Roman numerals. And it's really, really cool. It's experimental hip-hop. It's got some cool, like, violin riffs in it, kind of, like, woozy, dreamy, but also, like, got some cool MCing in it, got some cool rapping in it. It's kind of like a mishmash. It's kind of, like, it's interesting. It'll take you to a different place. I like it a lot. So they actually just released the video for their featured single On 3 called Right Now. They released it like 8 hours ago. I just found out about it. Super excited to watch it. So I'm not sure if they're on Apple Music, are they? Yeah, they're on Apple Music. You can find them on Bandcamp. And so gonna play Right Now for you guys. Alright, that was the featured track Right Now off of Watts' new album, 3, which was released November 8th.
We're going to real quick kick it to an ad, but don't go anywhere because we'll be back in about 40 seconds.
About bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
All right, and we're back. Now we're going to real quick jump into our topic, and it's very fortunate that we have an artist on the show right now because our pre-planned topic that we had was recording studio spaces in Vancouver and how hard they are to get for artists. Cam, you want to tell us a little bit about your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's like part of the reason why BVP was such a lifesaver in the past year for us. Obviously, there's like a limit of hours that we can book the space for, and then the only option we usually have afterwards if we want to practice more that week, it would be like to book out like Soundhouse or a similar booking space. In Vancouver it's about $30 an hour for like a decently sized room, and it's also expensive if you don't have like your own drum kit or your own like breakables, then you have to like rent that and amps and stuff. So it can rack up like a few hundred dollars pretty quickly.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so what kind of impact do you think that has on bands and the local music scene in Vancouver?
It just makes it harder to like get better, you know, and like practice makes perfect. Like there's, you know, nothing beats hard work. And then like, especially for people that are coming from other cities, like me, I'm from Montreal, so I don't have a house here where I can have all my equipment. Same thing for our drummer, Nick. He's from Minnesota, so his drum kit is in the U.S., so that makes it hard for him to practice without like an actual rented drum kit. It does have a massive impact, I think, on Vancouver. Just in general, like living here as a musician is hard because everything's expensive.
Since you mentioned you're from Montreal, actually, how do you think the two cities compare kind of in that aspect?
Montreal is like really affordable rent. You know, you can find like the equivalent of what I have right now. I could find it for probably like $600 a month, in a really like central cool place in the city. And Montreal is just really, really diverse in terms of culture and art. I think the arts are way more like people focus more on arts in Montreal. Definitely, it's something that's more important in people's lives. I have a feeling. Yeah.
Right, nice. Any other takes on living in Vancouver, renting in Vancouver, the impact it has on musicians? You're in the Blank Vinyl Project. Do you find you get a whole bunch of students coming to you who need to use your space, who wouldn't be able to perform or practice otherwise?
Oh, yeah. Like, most people in BVP don't really have a second option. And it's always, like, we have to book, like, weeks in advance to make sure that we have our practices and stuff because, like, everyone... It's like saturated. It's oversaturated. Everyone wants to use it.
So there's a big demand for the space then.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. And we're actually going to move into the old sub once it's done being renovated. There's going to be like a room specifically made for BVP, so that should be really cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know any other programs that offer the same thing, or is it just BVP? That you
know? On campus, we're the only ones. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, we're going to jump into a new band who are playing here tonight. I see I mentioned them already. They are Angus and Julia Stone playing at the Vogue Theater. They're a brother and sister Australian indie pop duo, and we're going to show you a song called Snow off their most recent album, which is also called Snow.
Thank you. chance that I could have something to drink.
Walking around here looking for something.
I can get fucked up on absolutely anything.
I'll sweep you off your feet and you will fall apart.
Sweep you off the floor, God, you're drunk again.
Finding in the light that somebody else's heart.
Why don't you stay? Why don't you stay?
All right, that was a band called Angus and Julia Stone, and they're playing tonight at the Vogue Theater. If you want to stop by, I guess, because they are really good, and my roommate just texted me, and he said that that band's first album was the first album he ever bought on iTunes, so he's listening in right now, and he had a big nostalgia trip with that band right there. Doors open at 7, show starts at 8, and I would highly suggest you drop by. That's the Vogue Theater once again. Now we're going to go over to Ava, who has a quick news breakdown.
Yeah, so some info about the 2018 Junos Awards were just announced. So it's going to be March 25th at Rogers Arena in Vancouver, and the host will be Michael Bublé. So it's in his hometown, and he's hosting for the second time. The first time was in 2013, so that's pretty interesting.
Nice. All right, and then also the Grammy Award nominations came out recently, right?
Yeah.
Did anybody check those out?
Mm-hmm. Tyler, the Creator, is nominated for Best Rap Album. I was not expecting that. I'm so proud. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't actually that surprised because, I love that album. That's, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's such a step from what he used to do. He's matured so quickly. It's pretty impressive. Yeah,
I feel like a lot of his old stuff is very, it's catchy, but it was so juvenile and just very,
Oh, yeah.
It was is that really,
the most unpolished shit. It was, yeah. I'm allowed to swear.
But, Flower Boy was just, he had his shit together.
Yeah.
He purposely changed the album name to be less explicit, and I think he even altered his Twitter handle. So he definitely polished himself.
All right, were there any other nominations that maybe threw you guys off, surprised you in any way? I know the just looking at the album of the year, I am kind of surprised in that normally when I look at the Grammy nominations, there's one album in there that I don't really. I don't know, I'm a little surprised to find in there, but I actually really love listening to all these albums. You got Awaken My Love, Childish Gambino, you got 444, Jay-Z, you got Damn, Kendrick, you got Melodrama, Lord, and you got 24K Magic, Bruno Mars, and all those albums I think were some of my favorite of this year.
I feel like this is going to be one of the years where album, whoever is not, is awarded album of the year isn't going to cause Twitter to riot, because every year it's Kendrick, and then Taylor Swift, and then Taylor Swift will win, and everyone gets mad, or someone will run over Beyonce, but I feel like if any one of these people wins, it would be respected by the general public. But there's already kind of some controversy with the nominations. I just saw like Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest was super mad that they didn't get nominated for anything, which I found interesting. And I don't know, how do you guys feel? Do you think like award shows actually really matter? Or, like, do you think it's just another like event to dress up and make money?
I don't know. That one's weird to me, because didn't they play at last year's Grammys?
Yeah, but it hasn't qualified. Like, same with Childish Gambino. Like, I feel like that album has been out forever, but
yeah,
it's only getting nominated for stuff now. So no, I think true. They just didn't, like, submit it
yet. The Grammys always throw me off by what's nominated, like, this year and what's nominated, like, the year after. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know Frank Ocean for Blonde, he didn't even submit it. That's why it was never, there was never any recognition. But it probably would have gotten it if, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, like, or like Divide by Ed Sheeran was in there, and I was like, didn't that come out in like 2016? Like, I don't even know. I lost track of time. But yeah, it does feel like Awaken My Love's been out for ages, because like this time last year we were all listening to it. So yeah, mm-hmm. It's kind of weird. But no, it's exciting. A lot of R&B stuff I'm excited about, like Freudian by Daniel Caesar got nominated. Yeah.
To answer the actual question, though, like I think they're definitely important to like new artists. Like maybe like well established artists can like brush it off as like a meaningless event. But like if you're like still relatively unknown to the general public, like winning an award's like a lot of publicity.
Like my favorite part about stuff like the Grammys is just to see like completely different artists like put together and like performing together, or even like similar. Like I remember last year A Tribe Called Quest and like Anderson .Paak performed together, and that was really cool. But besides that, like, I may be mad for, like, 5 minutes, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I'm not like, oh, I like this artist more because he has 8 Grammys. Like, it doesn't, it's just, like, a trophy. Yeah.
It doesn't inform your decision a whole lot. Whereas I think that's different than maybe the way people tend to look at award shows for movies. So,
yeah,
like the Academy Awards, the big thing that you see on the billboards is, like, winner of 12 Academy Awards. Like, that's the big selling point. I think that's different in the impact that the Grammys have.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like easier for me to view like movies as being something more objective and like technical to appreciate than music, and I don't know what like the logic behind that is.
Yeah, well, you're in a film class, right?
That's true. So,
yeah,
talk
you get
about
that info.
Mise-en-scene. No, never. But yeah, I don't know.
All right. Anybody else got any award show takes? All right. Moving on from that, I think we're gonna play a few quick ads and PSAs, and then we will be back as soon as we possibly can.
Hey there! This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit citr.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
Are You Aware Radio, alternate Thursdays 6 to 7 p.m. at CITR 101.9 FM. Profiling music and musicians take the route of positive action over apathy.
Hello. All right. Now I think we've got a topic a couple of us wanted to talk about before the break, and that is concert tickets. And I know this affects everybody in the local music scene in a pretty big way because some shows that you want to go to are just too expensive. Do you guys have any opinions on concerts specifically in the Vancouver area and how much they cost?
Well, I mean, this is like an example from a little while ago, but one of the problems I have is when people buy concert tickets in bulk, like many quantities, they're relatively cheap. They resell them for an insane price. Like, I remember I was trying to buy a Daniel Caesar tickets, and I was like, oh, okay, like, I'll hold off buying them at first. They were $20, but I was like, I don't know if I'll go or not. We'll see. Try to rebuy them. They were going for like $180 on
eBay. I had the exact same problem. Infuriating.
Which one were you trying to buy?
Daniel Caesar.
Yeah. It was so bad. I was like, are you kidding me?
Because, you know, I missed the sale by like a couple hours. You know, I was at work and then I opened my phone and it's like sold out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. I'll find some on StubHub. But like, hell no. Like, it was so expensive.
It's just not feasible at that point.
Exactly. And yeah.
I was like, I was really stoked when I saw that he had priced his tickets so low because he understands. Like, I feel like a lot of smaller artists are getting better at reasonably pricing their tickets because it's a realistic price. They know they'll get a good turnout. They're able to cover the fees of their shows, but still make it accessible to their fans. But when people are taking advantage of these low ticket prices and they're like, oh, okay, a lot of people like Daniel Caesar, I'm just gonna bump up the ticket price that I bought it for four times to make some money off of these poor people.
Yeah, it is a serious problem. And then, you know, people do end up buying tickets at $100 to see, be like, a smaller artist. And like, what if the artist had actually bumped up their price tickets to $45 instead? Maybe they would have made even more money. So it's you know, yeah, it's a situation where like, I don't know, and it's hard to, like, how do policymakers, like, you can't really, like...
There's no way to know.
Exactly.
I know Taylor Swift did this, actually. She, in her attempt to, was what she described as battling scalpers, she had this thing where, like, the more merch you bought from her, like, stuff, then you were, like, put up higher on a list, which everyone got super mad about and was like, you're just awarding your rich fans and, like, you're not actually fixing the problem. But it's, like, a good question. Like, how do you stop scalping? It's, like, a very difficult thing to battle.
There was, like, one thing. I think there was, like, some comics were doing where it was, like, your name had to be, like, the name of the bot, the, like, ticket with the credit card or whatever. Oh, yeah. But then, like, at the same time, like, as a fan of whatever who may not have been able to get it when it sold out, then it, like, kind of sucks. Like, what if it's that one thing you really want to go to and you, like, bought a ticket for an overpriced? So, I don't know. It's, like, hard to find an actual solution.
But then, again, it's like if scalpers didn't exist and weren't buying up the tickets that quickly, like they probably would, the shows themselves wouldn't sell out as quickly. So then true fans would have more than a couple hours to buy tickets for shows and artists they really enjoy.
Well, recently, kind of relating it to the Vancouver area, I know Pink had a concert here in May of 2017. And the big problem with that is that the tickets sold out almost immediately. And then within seconds, they were on scalpers' websites for like $1,000. And the NDP said that they were going to fight the scalping problem, but they have never really introduced anything after that. And I know, like, government organizations are trying, like, the Ontario government trying to introduce some legislation, and it's just, it's hard to regulate as a problem, though, because it's just all automatic, and it's all online, and there's almost nothing that you can do without regulating that, which is really hard.
And this being said, I feel like it is a present problem, but it's not a very big problem, like affecting the mass populations. It's not affecting the daily lives of people. It's a very big inconvenience, though, and I feel like we do need to try to find a solution to this.
Yeah, I mean, something as simple as like some ticket companies just don't allow you to buy more than two tickets at a time. Like, just that is a really easy way to like stop the problem.
I feel like Canada, though, as like our government has actually done a lot for music, like especially the, I was talking to my English professor about this the other day actually. He was saying like the 30% Canadian content on the radio actually kind of, as he described it, was kind of a renaissance of Canadian music because it like brought a lot of like bands up and like because they have to play it, a lot of more Canadian bands get a lot of recognition. And that's why we have so many bands that are like super like significant in Canada, but then outside of Canada, like no one cares or knows about them. So, I don't know, I feel like since they have, like, done that and they do put a lot of money into, like, Canadian artists, there's, like, grants you can get as a band from the government if you're Canadian. So, I think it's, like, it should be something that, I know it's not a primary, like, there's other stuff, but, like, it should be something that's looked at.
So, Cammie, from an artist perspective, how do you think it affects the bands that are performing?
Well, I mean, obviously it's really frustrating to, you know, I can imagine, like, at a certain level, like, have people rip off your fans. Like, that must be really infuriating. And also, like, in the, you know, the current music industry, like, doing live shows is one of the only ways to make money with your shows. Like, because no one's going to pay to buy an album now, you know? No one does that. Understandably so. I mean, I know I don't. And I'm an artist myself, so... I guess that's why, like, you know, splurging on concert tickets is something that I do very often, but I know that it's the only way I can encourage the bands that I want to see, you know, get to the top of the, you know, Billboard or whatever. So it's like, yeah, I guess, yeah, I don't know. I feel like the solution to scalpers is, like, a pretty simple, like, online thing that can be solved. There has to be, like, an algorithm or something where people can, like, just block, companies can block out, like, mass buying and stuff. I'm sure there's a way.
I think the problem is that there's just so much money in it, right? That the people who really have the resources to buy these tickets are putting in, they're figuring out ways around all the efforts that these companies are putting in. Like, they're changing their IP address as they buy the ticket, so they can't be shut down for that. And so I think sites like Ticketmaster, they're trying, but it's hard to keep up when there's so much profit to be made off ticket resales.
Yeah, also, I guess, I mean, they probably are trying, but at the end of the day, Ticketmaster does get their money, just not from, like, the fans, they get it from, like, bots, but they do get their money, and at the end of the day, the artists are getting their money. Just, it's more of, like, a moral issue than, like, a money issue. It's a money issue for us, because buying $180 Brockhampton tickets is, like, insane. But, yeah, I don't know. People just need to be nicer. Maybe we'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Moving on from that, I think Zubin had a couple of things he wanted to talk about.
Just a couple small announcements. Coming up soon, unfortunately, applications closed October 1st, but if you're in Whistler on November 30th or December 1st, there's the Whistler Film Festival, which includes a music showcase, so that just involves a lot of cool artists and stuff in collaboration with Music BC. So 10 pre-selected artists will be playing a 30-minute set for an audience that will include some key international music executives, filmmakers.
And
so it's
I just
cool
pulled this up here. Are they all high school bands, or is that my misreading?
I don't think it's necessarily just high school bands. I think it's more open than that, but yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
If you're a local musician, that's something to look into applying to next year. Sorry, it's too late now. besides that, there's also this cool program, also already happened, but BC Artists and Music BC headed to M for Montreal, which happened November 15th to 18th. I don't know, Kemi, if you ever heard about that.
Yeah, M for Montreal is a really cool company. They were at Oceaga a couple years ago. Or was it last year? No, it was a couple years ago. Oceaga is like a really cool film music festival that happens in the summer at Parc Jean Drapeau. It's really cool, yeah.
Actually, Cammy, this just occurred to me jumping off of that. You're from Montreal, and that's a perspective we don't really get here in the Vancouver CITR radio waves that often. Would you be able to maybe compare and contrast the events and shows in Montreal to the events and shows here?
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of there's more events in Montreal. Cultural life is just, like, really vibrant in Montreal. Just people go out to, like, bars and go see bands they don't know, like, every weekend, and that's not something I see Vancouverites do that often.
So what are you, like, just a personal question for you, what is the best show that you can ever recall going to? And if I can ask back on the music ticket question, can I ask how much you paid for it?
That's such a good question. Honestly, I don't think the best shows I've been to have been the more expensive ones necessarily. One of my favorites, seeing Half Moon Run is always a really good experience. Two of the band members are from Victoria and Vancouver, and then two of them are from, Ontario, Ottawa, I think. But they all met in Montreal, and so they really made it their home as a band. And seeing them, like, since their very beginnings, just, like, every single show they get better, And I saw them in Vancouver last year, and that was one of my favorite performances. My ticket was probably like $50 or something.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So that's always a good one. Radiohead was rad, but that was like, and yeah, that was at Oceaga actually. So my ticket was like really expensive. Yeah, like a day pass I think at Oceaga now is like $150.
Okay.
Yeah. But then you get to see like so many shows in one day, which is ridiculous. Like, festival experiences are always so overwhelming.
Yeah, it kind of evens out when you like take your ticket cost in comparison with like everything that you pack into one day.
Exactly. Like, had you had to like pay for all the acts separately, it would amount to like probably over $1,000. I'm assuming.
Easily,
yeah. I don't really know. I feel like the most expensive show I've been to was Kendrick Lamar. And that was like so worth it. Like, every buck was worth it. I just was mind blown. Yeah, definitely an amazing performer. He really gives it everything he's got. And the stage was really pretty as well.
So what do you think contributes to a good show, personally, from your experience and watching other people?
It's all energy. It's all energy and connection. So it doesn't really have much to do with like how big the stage is or how big the venue is. Or, you know, I've been to crappy shows and arenas and really good shows and arenas and vice versa. So it's like, I think it's about how much the artist connects with the people in the room, and that can happen on all levels, definitely.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
What do you think it takes to make that happen, though? Like, what advice would you give to new bands trying to look for that kind of energy or atmosphere?
I think, like, learn to vibe off the crowd, but also learn how to hold that level of energy even if the room is empty, even if the room isn't really compelled by what you're doing. Like, you need to play in front of empty rooms, and that's, you know, the stage what we're still at as a band. Like, we have to play in front of people who don't know who the hell we are, and we have to make them like believe that we are good, you know, like not just like good musicians but good performers, and that we really put on a show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. I think right now what we're looking at is any other topics? Does anybody else have anything that they want to contribute to this show? I know one thing I was thinking about is just local music scene, not specific to Vancouver, but around Vancouver. And I was wondering, Cammy, if there's anywhere maybe around Vancouver. Like, I know Zubin was talking about Whistler. He's talking about, like, I don't know, like Port Moody, those like boundary areas. Is there anywhere you've heard of has a really good music scene? Anywhere you're looking to play at some point?
Not really. I really don't know much about BC at all, because I moved here just over a year ago. So I haven't really heard much, actually. I don't think I'd be the best person to discuss that.
What do you find are typically Blank Vinyl Project? Is it like mainly people from Vancouver? Is it, what kind of perspective do you tend to get in there?
It's a mix of people who are from Vancouver, the island as well. We have some islanders in the club. But also people from everywhere, like Australia, or like outside of BC, like other provinces. A couple Americans, Europeans. So yeah, I guess we're just like a bunch of outsiders and people who grew up here as well. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you find that informs the way that they make music, that they approach music? Like, you being from Montreal and you coming to the Vancouver music scene, do you find there's a difference in there?
I guess the only difference I can tell is like different influences. I grew up listening to a lot of jazz, a lot of blues. I find people from BC generally have a very folk background, and I don't know if that's just like a fluke that I've been meeting a lot of like folk fans. Yeah, definitely a lot of folk in Vancouver. That's what I've been noticing.
All right, nice. That's awesome. And I'm from Calgary too, so we've got the big folk festival and everything.
Right.
I get a lot of the folk from there too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, I think it's time to start signing off and start introducing the next show. Show following us, once again, we are Word on the Street. Show following us is Flex Your Head. It's a punk, rock, and hardcore show, which has been around since 1989, typically featuring bands and guests from around the world. I am Killian.
I'm Brenna.
I'm Ava.
Mics are getting thrown around.
I'm Zubin without a mic.
I'm Camille.
I'm Isia.
Thank you very much. This has been Word on the Street, and this has been our show. We'll be right back.
Sold on me, and I don't let you.